They say Rick Overlooking Horse didn't talk much. Actually, it was a little more than that. From the start, even for an Indian, his silence was bordering on worrying. For example, in his fourth spring, when Yucho's Watson shot him in the leg with an arrow, he didn't go wailing to his grandmother like any normal kid. He turned his back on his Rez cousin's mocking laughter and limped away with the arrow still in his leg, down the hill toward the third in a row of tar paper lean-tos on what is now Second Street in Manderson Village. Then he stood in the kitchen, silent as ever, staring at his closest immediate relation. Mina Overlooking Horse, accustomed to her grandson's silence, took a long time to look up from the back seat of the 1935 Ford coupe that had served as her sofa since it had been torn from its crumpled mother chassis in a ditch outside Shadron, Nebraska. Then she noticed the dark, viscous pool spreading on the earth floor beneath Rick Overlooking Horse's feet and the arrow juddering from his leg. "Eh? You're making a mess of everything," she said. But Rick Overlooking Horse just blinked and stared at the dirt on which he was standing. Maybe he was wondering why Yucho's had just shot him in the leg with an arrow. Or maybe he was wondering how he could mess everything up any worse than it already was. But no one would ever know what he was thinking about this or much of anything else because the child wouldn't talk. It was like that Swampy Cree Indian poem, Quiet Until the Thaw, as if his tongue must be frozen. Eventually, his grandmother and some of his more concerned immediate relations thought to look in his mouth to make sure. But nope. Everything was all defrosted and accounted for. Rick Overlooking Horse was simply a child and then a man of shockingly few words. The eternal nature of everything, as described by Mina Overlooking Horse. By the time Rick Overlooking Horse was fixing to enter his second decade, he had uttered, all told, about enough words to fill a pamphlet from the Resurrection Ministry outfit based out of Dallas, Texas. And those pamphlets were exceedingly short, designed as they were by little ladies with big hair, for heathen Indians who had been out in the sun too long, so to speak. Although, to be fair, the little ladies were just doing their Christian bit. And to be accurate, some of them were very far from what you might describe as little. Plus, this was back in the early 1950s, which was a confusing time for a lot of people, particularly for people who counted on time being linear, one thing following another. One foot in front of the other, one breath after the other, from cradle to grave, accounting for all the time between birth and death, but accounting for none of the time between death and birth. Mina made an attempt to get that confusion squared away, early and often. They say you've been here from the very start, and you'll be here to the very end, she told Rick Overlooking Horse when he was just 9 years old. Every last drop of you and everything around you, nothing has ever been taken away. Nothing will ever be added. Then she sighed, as if the very idea exhausted and perhaps saddened her. Eh? They say that's true for you, it's true for you choose, and it's true for me. It's true for the whole steaming rotten lot of us. Mina let this sink in for a moment. Like that breath you just took? In the beginning, a dinosaur breathed that breath, then a tree, then an ant, then you, now me. And maybe it'll be you choose next. Or maybe that breath will sink to the bottom of the ocean for one of those blind, ugly fish. Or maybe it will be someone's dying breath. You see? They say you just borrowed that breath. It wasn't yours to begin with, and it won't be yours to end with.